So, what happened today?
Well, it started yesterday. I mean, he was highly intoxicated yesterday.
Is your son?
That's my son, Eric.
Okay.
When he becomes intoxicated, he becomes abusive and destructive. Well, there was no destruction yesterday, just the abuse.
Did he hurt anyone in the house?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
He does not physically abuse me, but he does one hell of a good job verbally.
He's very angry.
Yeah, he doesn't attack people or anything, but he sure as hell can put you down pretty hard.
Okay.
So that's what it was, and I try to keep my cool, and he decided he was living out in that trailer out there, that, by his own choice.
Okay.
And today he came in, and I could, well, that's my bed right there, because I can't lay flat because of my ribs, and so, all right. So he was in at least three times during the night, like two, four, you know.
He'd come in from the trailer into the house.
Yeah, he'd come in, he'd talking to himself.
Drunk. Yelling, screaming.
Made himself something to eat, back out. Came in, he wanted his dog, the little one. Ends up with taking another dog, which I didn't give a damn. But then he would come in talking about, to me it was very irrational, about everybody and everything that they're doing to him and this and that. Nobody understands him. And so,
this is in the middle of the night.
So I did not converse with him so that he would leave. Well, things were fine, and he came in earlier. Naturally, it had to be earlier, and I told him, I said, Eric, I said, obviously you're intoxicated. Oh, I can't drink? You drink. I said, Eric, that's not the point. The point is you're intoxicated. And he said, so? I said, you're affecting everybody. Nobody, you know, it's always me, you know, one of these feel sorry for me type thing. And I said, Eric, you're not taking your medication because you don't like it? I said, have you called your doctor? No. I know. Don't even answer because I know the answer.
What kind of medication is he?
It was.
Oh, they put him on Zoloft.
Zoloft.
Okay. I don't know, but he was on one medication that was determined to be much too strong for
Prozac.
Him. So this was a lesser, and he did not like whatever reaction it was producing. But rather than contact his doctor, he'll do it Eric's way. Just completely cut it off. Drink. And that's what he was doing. I mean, it might have been a combination of the drug and the alcohol that made it send him off the site. But he is, in the past, he's going to kill himself. He's going to pour gasoline on himself. Pour gasoline on the trailer.
This is what he told you today?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He told me, he says, you better move your goddamn car. I said, Eric, I'm going down. Well, it's 2 o'clock. I have poured gasoline all over the trailer. I poured gasoline on myself. He said, when it goes off, your car's going with it. I said, okay, I'll get another car. I'm not going to, you know, give in to him or anything.
You're trying to downplay it.
I'm trying to downplay it. See how important it is, Eric? I'll get another car.
Sure.
I have insurance, you know. And he was talking to me in the hall, and that's when I brought up about it. I said, Eric, your alcohol is having, you have alienated not only in the house, but his whole environment. I have thrown him out in the past. I just could not tolerate it. But he always had a place to go. He has no income. He is not able to work because of his disability.
His back injury?
He has titanium rods in his back because his spinal fusion did not take place.
Okay.
He had no insurance. In fact, he had an appointment next week to see an orthopedist. He finally got on to some county program, the ACE program or something like that. Okay. So progress was being made, but I kept telling him, I said, Eric, you have to talk to your doctor and tell him you need help. I know I need help, but, you know, this and that, and then he goes on about it. Yeah. The whole thing. Everybody is wrong but Eric. Okay. I kept my voice down. Christ, the neighbors near every. We don't talk, we scream at each other. I said, I'm an adult, I'm going to have to control the situation. So I talk to him as I'm talking to you. But he, you know, naturally, he. He took aggressive feelings towards me.
And this was at about 2 o'clock today?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about
3 right now.
Well, I went outside because and he could hear sirens. Apparently, it was the fire department or something because they were way off in the distance. You guys came up without sirens. And he said, "Ed, can you hear it? They're coming for me." I said, "Yes, Eric." He said, "Well, you were a cop. You know what a siren sounds like." I said, "Yes, Eric, I do." And he said, "What do you?" And then he comes out of the garage with the knife. He said, "What do you think I do? They're gonna." I said, "Eric, please, put it down." He said, "You know I wouldn't hurt you." I said, "I'm not talking about me." I said, "Please, don't even approach the officers. Leave it there, and they will treat you properly." Well, so the first car that came up was the unmarked car. The two officers got out. They drew their guns immediately because he armed himself.
And you were outside on the front lawn?
I was, where those steps go down, I was leaning on that.
Okay.
The car was just a few feet beyond that, and they pulled in. They didn't come into the driveway. They on the street.
Okay.
And, you know, proper procedure. They stayed by their car and so forth. And I can tell you at least 3 times they told him, put the knife down. Now, whether he approached them or the fact that he disregarded, I don't know. I can't say that he made an aggressive. Probably did, and and then next thing.
He was shot.
The shots.
Is he okay?
I don't think he's okay. I don't think he'll ever have a problem. 3 shots at close range with 9mm.
They didn't just shoot him in the leg or something?
Honey, they have their life to protect. And here is the largest target a man has, anybody has. I'm sure he was shot in the chest. But I'm not sure.
Can I see him?
It's up to the officer. I'm sure he'll be there until the coroner comes.
Oh my God.
So.
Oh my God.
I know, Marie. She saw it, I saw it. I mean, as far as he was acting aggressively,
he
now, as I
he
say.
He kept me up all night. I understand that. I mean, he did. He was screaming, yelling, and carrying on.
Himself, he's screaming and yelling and carrying on. And we
Station 1, Station 1, can I get 1 inside the house?
We figured the best thing was ignore him. Don't.
We tried.
But you know how a drunk is. If they don't have trouble, they'll come look, which he did.
And was he a happy-go-lucky drunk?
No, he is
very
a mean, destructive drunk. I mean, I used to have a brick stand. He got mad at me one night. He kicked that thing over.
He pushed it over?
4 years. My neighbor died. And he went over there. He was drunk. And the whole family was in mourning, and the last thing they needed, you know. So he came back over here, and he's telling me about it. I said, it was expected, you know, her lungs were going and so forth and so on. And he said, "Well, a hell of a lot you care." I said, "Eric, Kay and I were just neighbors," and I said, "I'm sorry it happened, but it, you know." And then he started ranting and raving. And he went in. I said, "Well, I might as well." It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, "I might as well get up and get dressed." And I stood up and he said, "Ed, do you see this?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, one blow from this and you're dead." I said, "Eric, I believe you." I said, "I have one question for you." He said, "What's that, Dad?" I said, "Is this the day I'm going to die?" He walked out. And since then, he would come and he would tell me, "Ed, I will never hurt you." He never has. He has never.
How long ago did he say that to you?
That was
great.
Years
because
it had to be over a year, possibly within the past 2 years.
It was about 3 years ago.
Well, not that Kay died about 3 years ago?
She died right after Mom died, right?
I believe so.
Yeah,
Okay, I'm not good on time.
It's been about 3 years, okay. It wasn't anything that he said today or last night.
He, his usual, man, I love you and this and that. And I said, Eric, I'm sorry, I wasn't sarcastic and say, why the hell didn't you record it? Because I hear it so many times. Come up and embrace me. I'm sorry, Dad. Man, I love you. You know I'll never hurt you. And I said, Eric, you're hurting me. That's hurting me. I said, what's going on up there is hurting me. I said, no, physically. I said, you're hurting everybody around you. Yeah, that's it. It's everybody but Eric, you know. It's okay. And then... I don't know, somewhere in that period, we've had the conversation about the gasoline and so forth. And I couldn't take it anymore. I got scared. So I called 911. I told her the situation. I said, my son has been drinking heavily. He is threatening suicide. I said, I'm afraid for his safety, not my own, his. And she kept... I was having trouble with my hearing aid and telephone. They're not compatible.
Station 1, 2XR1. Can I get one inside the house, please?
So, I finally put my daughter on the phone and she picked up the conversation. She could answer the question because I was making the girl repeat 2 and 3 times and so. So she took over the telephone conversations. And then for some reason I decided I'd walk outside and he was outside. And he was over by the driveway and I was over where I told you I was by the post. Ed, come on over here. I said, no, Eric, you stay where you are, I'll stay where I am. And
she's very upset back there. Can you just make sure she's
okay? So,
she's back down the hall.
And about that time, we could hear the sirens down on 118. But I also heard, like, either an ambulance, you know, or the fire truck had that special warning. So I knew it wasn't you guys. And, you know, this small community, I could have heard if you... And next thing I know, this white car comes up. He said, there they are. And I said, what? And I was expecting a marked vehicle. Well, they got out of the car, the two officers, and he immediately grabbed his machete, I guess is the correct word, I don't know. But they naturally, they armed themselves and stayed back by their vehicle for protection. They did not approach him. And if I saw what went on,
did he move towards them?
I can't remember, officer.
Okay, I understand.
I just remember that he had it in his hand, and I'm looking at them more so than it's him, mm-hmm. And I'm telling them, please, no, don't. I know what was going to happen. I'm begging them. And they kept saying, put the knife down. Put the knife down. Now, I cannot say he approached them. I can't say he did. Because my eyes were on the officers, the armed officers. And next thing I heard was shots, and he's on the ground. That's about it. I don't think I can add anything further, officer. Or deputy, excuse me.
Just a few more questions, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier that he was seeing a doctor. Was it a medical doctor or a
psychiatrist? Yes, it's a medical doctor. She's in the... it's a Dr. Mueller. She's in the Moore Park, whatever that. It's in the same shop, right next to Ralph's Market. There's a clinic type thing.
Okay.
They have multiple doctors, but there is a female Dr. Mueller. That was his primary physician.
Okay. Has he ever seen a psychiatrist before?
Well, maybe in the 3 days that he was confined. Other than that, he has not had any. He refuses to go.
And the time that he was committed for the 3 days, was that the incident involving the handgun?
The handgun, yeah. Since then, all the guns, as they say, he kept screaming when my daughter and I were on the phone. Tell him I have a gun. Tell him I'll shoot their ass. I knew there wasn't a gun in there. But then again, who knows? He's got so many friends. The guns that I knew we owned, or he owned, I don't own them, are locked up in a gun safe down in Orlita. A very good friend of ours. He agreed that there was a 5-year period in which he may not possess a firearm.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
About how long ago was that incident? Years, months?
His mother's been dead. It's been pretty cool. The 5 years have just about up.
Okay, so about 5 years ago, he had a handgun on his person.
Oh, yeah, he had a handgun. He had rifles.
And the police showed up that day?
Yeah, well, he took the handgun and put it in the mailbox up there. The sheriff's department responded, and they asked him about the gun, and he told one of the deputies where it was. He went up, and he recovered the weapon.
And the reason the police came that day was because he was
I was recovering from surgery, mm-hmm. and my other daughter was here, and she panicked when she saw the gun. She immediately called 911.
He was just walking around the house with it?
He walked out of the house.
So he grabbed a gun and walked out of the house?
He left the house and he walked up that hill.
And your daughter got nervous and called the
police? And she was scared. And she called the 911 nurse. And they sent the deputies out. And he could see the deputies here, so he took the gun and he put it in the mailbox. And when they asked him about it, he told them exactly where it was. And then they had the county transport. I don't know. I can't. All I can do is remember. No, he was arrested. And I asked the officers to be gentle with him because of his broken back. They were very, very solicitous and so forth. And then the next thing you know, he put in his 72 hours. And
so now, did they have him committed to a psychiatric facility or was he in jail?
No, he was in a psychiatric facility.
That day?
Yeah, he's been in jail. I think he put 90 days in. The incident, as they say, in Simi Valley involving the Moore Park Police, that's been, 3 years ago or so. He got very destructive, and the lady that was there at that time was his girlfriend, and she became panicky. I guess he threatened her. I can only give you hearsay.
I understand.
And but anyhow, that's when the Simi Valley Police showed up, and they have video cameras, on their doorways, so you could see the officer outside with a gun in his hand, but it was not a weapon; it was the taser. And so he said, "I'm coming out, don't shoot me." Well, I don't know. The first thing they did, they tased him. And apparently he was tased twice after that. And then he was transported, and I don't know. I think he did pretty close to 90 days. And he's on 3 years probation. Prior to that, I don't know where he was. He was up Ventura Way somewhere. At a biker's bar, again. It had to be a biker's bar. And he naturally probably had too much. Well, apparently, when they parked their bikes, I guess part of their bike was on the highway or whatever. And a highway patrolman came along, and he was just walking down the line, sighting them. Well, somebody said, "Hey, there's a cop out there writing tickets." What? My smart son comes running out, jumps on his bike. Well, you know the rest. He was incarcerated for DUI. He lost his license. And he rode the bike without the license. And the best thing that ever happened was on 118, he blew the engine. The bike is in there in all kinds of parts and everything. And I was afraid when he gets his, if he got his settlement, the first thing he'd do is fix that son of a bitch, and he would go to driving school. So he, I don't have that worry anymore. I figured I'm going to lose the son to a motorcycle. Never in my wildest dreams. As I say, I have no animosity. The officers did what they had to do.
regrettably. He refused to cooperate with them. That's, so, I mean, I know you're going to have an investigation and everything, and they want to interview me. I will defend the actions of the officers 100%. I've never been in that situation, very fortunately, in my 1 year. I only had one experience involving the gun. It was a guy that was drunk, and I was able to talk to him. I mean, I'm a rookie, so my partner, he goes up, and it was over in Kelowna, and they have houses in the back of the half number. Well, that's where he was. When we turn around, I'm the first guy back. No lights or anything, and go back, and man, all of a sudden something solid hits my stomach. Put my hand down, I'm holding the barrel, hooked up a barrel shotgun. And this guy, obviously intoxicated, has made up his mind he's going downtown, his girlfriend's downtown, so forth. So I got talking to him, I said, hey man, you know, whatever I could think of to say, and all the time I'm moving, and I figured, well, you know, people live with one kidney, you know. The next thing I know, I said, hey, come on, you're a nice guy, I'm no threat to you, may I have the gun? So I didn't have to fight, he gave it to me voluntarily. My partner, he stood back, he knew I was in trouble, he, you know, it all worked out fine. The only thing we ended up that night, the sergeant ordered the gun confiscated. Man was on private property, he made no threats, it, so, you know, I told the sergeant, he said, man, he started blowing, I said, Arnie, which, that's how excited I was, instead of referring to him as sergeant, I used the first name. I said, hey, the man is intoxicated. I mean, here I'm teaching him the law, he's on private property. I said, he made no threats. He said, well, I want, all right. We talked him into going back to bed, and we confiscated the gun and left him with a receipt. That, end of story. Other than that, I've had no incidents. And nobody's ever threatened me. I never had to draw a weapon against anyone. And as they say, the actions of the officers, as much as I hate to say it, it's justifiable.
Let me just see if I can review to make sure that I've got everything correct. Starting yesterday afternoon, he started drinking?
let's see. We did a lot of running around. Make it yesterday evening because I had a doctor's appointment, I had to go to the dentist, he had a doctor's appointment, and we had little chores to do.
Sure.
And I decided I'm going to become more independent. I drove, so. I know it was, I always watch the afternoon. It was late in the afternoon. I missed the 4 o'clock, so I'd say it was 5 or beyond that.
Okay.
Shortly beyond that.
So about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, he started drinking?
I don't know. We came home and came in and, he started arguing, that's when he started arguing with me. I do not have the lung capacity, I have very little, but it seems like maybe with this irregular, I don't know, but I have less. And to go to my bathroom, 20 yards away and come back, I'll sit here and huffing and puffing like a steam engine. I depend very heavily on an inhalator. And so I had to be home for a couple hours because he had had quite a few by then. Came in and he said, you know, if you stop feeling sorry for yourself and get off your ass and do this and do this. I said, Eric, what do you want me to do? I shower by myself, I dress myself, I feed myself. I said, I'm doing what I can do. Well, you're always complaining. I said, Eric, I'm sorry, but I hurt. My ribs hurt, my arms hurt. I am disgusted with the facts. I have surrendered my independence to everybody around. He said, it's working on my mind. Well, but we had a few words and he walked out and he was going, he came back in for something and my friend here, Lori, prepared dinner. And I said, are you going to sit down and eat? He said, I didn't think I was welcome in this house. So he sat down and he only took a little bit. But during the night, as I said, 2, 4 o'clock, whenever he came in, he made a meal for himself. I ignored him. I just stayed in my chair and kept my mouth shut.
But based on his behavior last night, you think he had...
I could tell him by his behavior last night that he had been drinking.
Okay. And then at least twice in the middle of the night, he came in.
Two, three times.
And you think he was still intoxicated then?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, he was talking to himself and this and that. And he was talking. And so I just... I kept my mouth shut. I thought, you know, that's what...
And then today.
Today,
you didn't see him until about 2, or?
I don't know what. I'm trying to remember what's that today. Oh, okay. he was, again, it was. He's obviously intoxicated. And for a change, instead of screaming and hollering as I usually do, I'm in a conversational voice as I'm having with you. I said, Eric, you're obviously intoxicated. Oh, I can't drink. I said, Eric, I didn't say you can't drink. I said, you're intoxicated. Your actions are... He's right, it's everybody but Eric. It's always Eric, you know, this and that. I said, Eric, I don't know where you got the alcohol. I stole it. I said, that's fine. Fine. She said he had money for cigarettes. I'm his sole support. I mean, he can do little jobs. Maybe he had done something, somebody owed him. I don't know. I don't know the origin of his money. None of us is missing money. Mm-hmm. Nothing has been taken from this house. Where he got cash, I don't know. That's not important. But he had been off the alcohol for over at least a week. It was so much different. We'd sit... watch TV together... He was so solicitous, you know. Dad, you need help putting your socks on. Dad, it was almost like he was doting on me. And I was beginning to wish I had my son back. And then he got a hold of the bulls. And what's happening? Honey, I got some very bad... I'm okay, honey. Honey, may I call you back? I'm with a deputy sheriff right now. May I call you back? Okay, honey. I love you too.
So you think it's sometime last night you start drinking? You think?
Yeah. Well, it had to be after we got back from the store.
I understand.
Okay. So early yesterday evening he began.
And you think he was still drinking today?
Oh, that it was very obvious. He was still intoxicated.
And when you got into the first argument, was that just before we got here, or was that earlier today?
The first argument was last night, which we.
Well, I mean the first argument
today.
Today.
That was before you got here. I mean, the way he was yelling at his sister, the way he was treating Lori and everything, I thought, well, father, son, I met him in the hall and I said, Eric, obviously you're intoxicated. And that set him off. I said, he said, so what? I said, Eric, it's the effect it's had on whom? Or, I said, everybody. I said, you alienated everybody you know. I mean, friends that used to come over, they won't come over anymore because of things he said to them. See, he was intoxicated earlier, and he decided this is a new year, and Eric is going to speak his mind. Well, I could probably tell you a lot of stuff, but the way he would put it, man, you'd want to kick his ass. You know what I mean? He was not very diplomatic. And as I say, it caused alienation with, you know, I mean, cripes. It was always common to have somebody here. I mean, we'd sit down, have a couple beers, I'd invite them to meals, you know, but.
So then he got increasingly angry and started yelling at everyone in the house?
He was yelling at his sister. He wasn't yelling at me.
Okay.
And then right before you came, he came back in the door, the embracing.
He had left from the hallway argument.
Oh, yeah, he went out to his trailer.
Came back in.
That's when he came back in and told me about the gasoline and all that other stuff.
Okay.
And I, as I say, I tried him and I said, look, Eric, it's 2 o'clock. I have to be to the doctor at 3. Can you hold off? And he said, well, your car is going too. I said, well, then I guess I'll have to get another car. You know, I figure if I'm not arguing, it takes two to argue.
Sure. Absolutely.
And then he came back in with the, man, I love you. I'm sorry. I won't do this again. I said, Eric, this is getting to be too frequent. I said, it's very difficult for me. And then he started ranting and raving about, I don't even remember what. And so I picked up the phone and something I didn't, reluctant. I did it reluctantly. I called 911 because he was threatening suicide. He was, and he didn't threaten anybody else but himself. I mean, and I figured, God, maybe he will do it. The last thing I wanted to have something happen to him because I did nothing. So I did what I thought was right.
And when you called 911, what did he do?
I informed him who I was, my address. I said, I have a son that's intoxicated. He is really out of control. He is threatening suicide.
Now, what did your son do? While you're on
the phone? He wasn't.
He here. Left again?
He was going out the door when I called.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to call. I don't know, whatever expletive he used, but he indicated that he didn't give a damn one way or the other. And so, I mean, then as I told you, I was having the problems of making the girl. He said, sir, can you do something because, so I don't have to keep repeating? I said, I'll give you to my daughter. I said, I wear hearing aids. And he said, please. And so the two of them picked up the conversation.
And that's when you went outside?
Then I went outside and...
Where was he at?
He was over on that side. And I never went past that area where the stanchions are for the steps. I stayed there leaning on them. And then just coincidentally, that's when the sirens were going off. And I knew you couldn't respond that quickly because he just, just concluded her conversation with 911. So he kept taunting me about that. They're coming for me, Ed. Can you hear it? They're coming for me. He said, but when they come, and he said, what do you think they're going to do about this? I said, Eric, please.
He was holding a knife in his hand?
Oh, a machete. And he took it, and he stuck it in the ground. He said, I wouldn't do anything. I said, get away from the knife. I said, when the officers come, please. And the next thing I know, the unmarked, he said, there they are. And I'm looking for it was the unmarked car, and the two detectives. I assume he armed himself at that time. I don't have total recall because I was concerned watching, because they both drew their guns and I'm begging them, please, please, just hold off, please, But before anybody could say anything, I said, look, these men have a life of their own, and they're trying to protect it. He would not go up. Much to my regret, I begged him, but what can they do? Just because I say, hey, hold off, they had to protect themselves, and they did. And I said, I can attest to 3 shots being fired. And I say they were fired defensively. I have no ill feelings. I mean, I regrettably, these men did what the county is paying them to do. They were maintaining the law. They were maintaining the peace. They were dealing with a very irrational person. He is not, everybody says, he had this kind of family. No. If he weren't drinking, you could handle him with no problems. It was the alcohol and possibly an after effect of his medication. I don't know. As I say, without any medical knowledge, I don't know. But I have seen him this way before without medication, so I don't think the medication is much of a factor. It's the alcohol. He cannot handle it.
Sure, what's your daughter's name?
surgery. She had not left since.
Okay.
Her address.
But she has been staying with you for several
weeks. She's been here since April.
Okay. Do you, what's her date of birth? Okay. And does she have a cell phone number?
Things bouncing all over the place.
And when you're, were you inside the house, ma'am? When
I was on the porch with the 911 operator.
Okay.
Christ, I'm sorry. Ah, this is not pleasant duty.
And how much you were here for the argument earlier?
I was here for long. He kept me up all night last night.
Oh, he was waking you up also?
Oh, no, he's out there.
He's out in the trailer. Yeah, my window's right there. And he'd go by my window and scream and yell. And he was drunk. He just, I don't know how he got it, because
right.
I used to buy it for him, but you know, he gets like that, and he hurts everybody, and he starts feeling sorry for himself, and blaming everything on everybody else but himself, and he was, one minute he'd be singing real loud, he turns the music up full blast, he'll go in the garage, turn the music on out there. He turns the music on in the trailer full blast, and he does that all night. He does it all the time, and then he'll start screaming and like that real loud.
Oh, growling like a dog.
Growling and
yeah, he'll growl like a dog.
Motherfuckers, are you happy now? And he does that all the time.
Were you here when he was talking about the gasoline and lighting himself on fire?
I was here, but I didn't hear him say it.
No, I was in the bedroom. He came in the bedroom.
Eric, so you spoke in the bedroom at that time?
It was conversation
yelling,
between
but
the two of us.
I didn't hear him say
that. That's why when I came out, I did what I did. Because I believed him. I could not smell gasoline on him, but I know we have it for the mower and everything. And I, you know, he's threatened before. And I figure one of these damn days he's going to do it.
In the garage before. He's
how
put
long
a
ago
noose,
was that?
Three years ago.
I caught him with the noose around his neck.
He first wanted you to see him.
Well, he didn't call Maria. I don't know, as they say, what provoked me. Or
it was when he was kicked out one time.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't call me. He didn't do anything.
No, I know.
But for some reason, I got out of my chair and I walked to the garage. He was just mounting he was placing the noose.
Right.
So I took the noose off and untied it, and I said, what the hell do you think this is going to accomplish? You know, I don't know. I can't remember the conversation, but he did, whether this was a sympathy or an actual attempt, who knows. But he did go to that point. Mm-hmm. But he did not, as I said, I don't know what provoked me to leave here to go to the garage.
Right.
He didn't call to me or anything. And, you know, she didn't know what he was doing. I don't know.
Had he been drinking that day, too?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Yes.
He used to drink every day.
He does drink every day. And well, it's straight vodka.
Look the past week how he was, how much different.
Oh, I wasn't here. When I came home.
Oh, no, not since you came back.
Oh.
Sitting on the couch to two in the morning, watching the History Channel and things like
that. Well, I was in Marina Del Rey, Dad. Tuesday night when I came home, he was drunk.
All right. Well, I don't know. But so, I mean, it was such a transition. I think, God, I have my son again, you know.
That's because he said he had to step up while I was gone.
Oh, okay.
Because I was gone those couple of days.
Now, today, after the argument started and your dad handed you the phone, what happened? You spoke to the dispatcher and then you went outside?
I was on the phone with the dispatcher. I was watching Eric, and my dad was standing on the steps where he was standing, and Eric was up screaming and yelling in his face. I said, Eric, get away from Dad. And he said, what do you mean, get away from Dad? I'm not going to hurt him. I said, I know you're not going to hurt him. Just you're upsetting him. Just get away from him. And that's when the undercover...
Did you see a knife at the time?
No, not until the police pulled up.
And well, he had it.
The machete. See, I didn't.
He had it, and he showed it to me. He said, "What do you think that they will do?" And I said, "Eric, please."
So when they showed up, he held it up.
He held it up, and they told him several times to put that down.
At least three times.
And they had their guns on him and dad said, "Please, no, please." And I'm like, "Eric, please." Put it down. Please.
I knew what was going to happen.
And then I saw him shoot him.
Did he move towards the officers?
I didn't see him.
Neither one of us can remember. But he would not obey their command.
And he had it up in the air.
Okay.
It's suicide by cop.
That's what he said, too. That's what he told me.
Yep. He said, they'll do it for me. Something to
that's
that.
That's what he told me. Watch this. He said, I hope... Dad did call 911 because it's suicide by a cop.
That's what he told
I did
you.
Not hear that.
What I mean, I told the 911 officer.
I did not hear that remark. That was my own interpretation.
That's exactly what he told me. Suicide by cop.
Yeah. And Lori was here also.
Yes.
What's her last name?
I don't know.
Lori. Okay.
Let me go get
her. I'll speak to her.
Okay.
I just didn't know if you knew offhand. I'll speak to her. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
As I say, I know you're going to have a shooting board, and you have my recorded statement, and I say with no qualms, what happened was justifiable. He would not cooperate, and the officers gave him every opportunity. At least three times he was asked. And I'm begging the officers, please, because I'm looking at their drawn guns. I wasn't looking at him. Whether he approached them, whether he threatened them, I don't know, because my intention was on.
Well, he had them.
My intention was on the officers only. I figured, you know.